sixth chapter of the book of Matthew. We had done a couple lessons on prayer and how to pray and how not to pray, as you remember. And we're not going to have an extended lesson on these, but I want to go to this week. I think I told you last week I wanted to deal with forgiveness. I think probably 6-8 months ago, I don't remember if it was in Sunday school. I don't remember if it was in church services. We dealt some on this thing on forgiveness, but I felt like the Lord has brought my heart back to this, and it's something we need to touch. I think it's very important, this thing of having our lives right with the Lord, making sure we're right with each other. That's very, very important. And so I want to deal with that this morning. I want someone to look up Ephesians 4:32. Brother Brewer, thank you. And Brother Jack, look up Colossians 3:13. Had his hand up there, 3:13. I'm going to read at the end of chapter 6 here, not the end of it, but at the end of the instructions he gave concerning prayer and the model prayer he gave us, which we dealt with some last week. But in verse number 14 and 15 of Matthew 6, "For if we forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses." That's quite a statement. We want to look at that this morning, hopefully in context of what the scripture says concerning other things about forgiveness. But I'm going to ask Brother Brewer, if he will, to read that one verse of scripture.
"And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you."
That's quite a verse of scripture, and it's a wonderful, wonderful verse of scripture, wonderful instructions to us. He reminds us that God has forgiven us. What I want us to remember is, how did God forgive us? Did he forgive us without any repentance? Or did he forgive us because we repented and turned to God and asked for forgiveness? I think we need to remember that. But at the same time, then, how do we forgive people? We're going to dig into that a little bit this morning. I think it's very, very important. Colossians, please. Once again, as Christ forgave us, that's how we're supposed to forgive. How did Christ forgive us? Did he forgive us without any repentance? Did he forgive us without us coming to him and asking for forgiveness? What I'm trying to do this morning is try to nail this thing down a little bit. Is it required of us to forgive when there is no repentance? Now, I want to say something. For us and our well-being, to hold a grudge is not going to help us. To hold some kind of grudge against somebody and treat somebody in a wrong way is not going to help us. In fact, that's going to do harm to our life and our relationship with God. But is it required, is forgiveness required without repentance? Now, I think this is important. Now, I'm not talking about holding against somebody, all this, but does God expect us, when we have done something wrong to somebody? JR, I stole $100 from you. I didn't, but I stole $100 from you. Are you to forgive, come up to me immediately and just say, "Pastor Ross, I just forgive you"? You would say yes. It's all right. Or should I be required to come to you and give you $100 and ask forgiveness? Should there be repentance on my end? Right. See, this is the thing we've got to kind of nail down, see what our responsibility is when it comes to forgiveness. And again, as I'm going through this, because I believe the scripture teaches that God expects repentance. Don't sit around and hold things against people and don't have a bad attitude about people and to people, that is not right, because that's not right in the eyes of God. But where are we when it comes to repentance and forgiveness? And I hopefully, through the scriptures here, will help us a little bit on know how to handle things. You know, when a person is in jail and there's a pardon given to that person, it does not remove the crime. It removes the penalty. The crime is still there. The person still did the crime. But the penalty is removed. They're given a pardon. And we want to kind of keep that in mind as we're talking about all of this other these other things. I don't believe that when a person does something, let's use that same illustration, if I would steal from you, JR, I don't think your responsibility is to forget it and forgive it immediately. I think it comes from me to come to you and give you back what I took from you and ask you for forgiveness. There's a repentance on my part. Then you're under obligation to forgive me. And I believe that's what God is talking about here. When someone has earned our forgiveness, it's our responsibility to forgive. When a person has earned it, in other words, they have repented, and I'll show you in Scripture where God talks about the repentance. Keep in mind, did Jesus forgive us before we repented and turned to Him and asked forgiveness? The forgiveness was there available, but did He just say, okay, you're forgiven no matter what happened? No, there has to be a repentance on our part. We must come to Him. That's why there's a lot of people out here lost. They're lost because they won't come. It's available to them. God wants to forgive them. He's made the way of forgiveness for them. He's done that. But are they saved just because God said and Jesus said, forgive them from the cross? Are they automatically then forgiven? Or do they have to come with repentance to God and ask for forgiveness? Which is it? Are they automatically forgiven? It's available to them. It's there. He's paid the cost. But until a person repents and comes to Christ and says, I am guilty. I'm a sinner. And then Jesus can forgive and will forgive. Okay? So what is our responsibility? I want to say this to you too, because sometimes we will do harm to the one who has offended by not letting them come to the place of repentance. If you walk right up to a person and say, well, I know you did this, forget it, don't worry about it, you have stopped the process that God uses. And that's what He does. He uses that process to bring us to repentance. You see, it's all right, we've got it all right. Well, to get everything right between JR and the whole purpose of this process is that we can restore fellowship. And there will not be fellowship restored, I don't care what JR would say to me, I forgive you, but it will not be restored until I give you that $100 back and ask you to forgive me. At that point, fellowship can be restored and should be restored. And you have a responsibility to restore it if I come to you. Okay? Now, if you just come up to me and say, forget it, you know, that's just one of those things, you have stopped the process in my life. Because it's very important. God uses these times to humble us. We need to ask forgiveness. It's a process God uses in humbling us. We need to have to do that. Is it humbling? Have you ever been there? I have. And it's humbling to walk up to someone you've done something against and say to them, I am sorry, please forgive me for what I did. Not saying, if you hadn't have done this, that's not forgiveness, that's not repentance. And a lot of times that's what we do. Well, if you hadn't have done this, I wouldn't have done this. No, we walk up to that individual and we say, will you please forgive me for what I did? I sinned. I did wrong. Isn't that what you did to the Lord when you got saved? Sure it is. And did he forgive you? Sure he did. But he didn't forgive you till you came to that place of repentance and belief in the Son of God, that he's the one that died for you. And then you are a sinner. Now, in dealing with individuals, I want to go to Matthew 5, right close there. Matthew 5, 23, verse 23. Therefore, if thou bring thy gift to the altar, and there rememberest that thy brother hath aught against thee, leave there thy gift before the altar and go thy way. First be reconciled to thy brother, and then come and offer thy gift. What I want you to get out of that is that the whole purpose of this getting things right is reconciliation. When this is all done, J.R. may not forget I stole his $100, but he can forgive me because I've asked for cleansing. I've asked for forgiveness. That brings a reconciliation back between J.I. and I, and we can walk on and do and go on in life, and we can have a relationship that's reconciled one to another. What he's talking about here is if you come to the altar, if you come to an altar and you kneel down at this altar and you say, Lord, and maybe you're bringing a material gift. We could say that, but I think it goes deeper than that. Maybe you're bringing your life. You're dedicating yourself. You say, I feel like God's called me to preach, or I want to dedicate my life to the Lord. God says to us, well, wait a minute. You've got a brother that's got an ought against you. You need to get that reconciled, because how can you bring your life and give it to the Lord? How can you do that until you get this reconciled? That's what he's saying. So he says, what do you do? Well, you go and you reconcile with your brother. In other words, there is an ought. You know there's an ought, and the brother knows the ought, because he just said you remembered that there was an ought that your brother had against you. So what do? You go to the brother and you get that reconciled. What you do is go and repent to him who has an ought against you, ask forgiveness, and get it cleared, get it reconciled, and then you're clean to come back to the altar and say, God, here's my life, or here's my gift, or whatever it might be that you're going to offer to the Lord. Does that make sense?
Amen.
You see, God looks upon the heart. See, we can do a lot of things here at the altar. We can say a lot of things, but God knows the heart. And if there's something between and there's a brother that has aught against you, it'll never be right. Your life will never be correct. I didn't say you wasn't saved. I said it'll never be correct until you get that aught taken care of. I don't think, personally, Brother Klein, I don't think that probably we can know. Because there again, it's hard to see the heart of an individual. But I also believe that there's a lot that we can tell from the demeanor and the way they come to you. I think you can tell a lot by that. If it's just something that is not really, you know, just come, hey, I'm sorry what I done for to you, and off they go. I mean, I think there needs to be a sweet spirit of repentance. And I think a lot of times we can tell that. Maybe sometimes we can't. I don't know. But there again, I don't know that that's our business. God must deal then with the other individual. Right. Do you think so, Brother Brewer? I think that's right. And I think that would be the only thing I could answer that with. Yes. Oh, that is true. But wait a minute. When he was on the cross and he said, forgive them, for they know not what they do, was that a blanket forgiveness to everybody? Right, and I think there was a whole bunch of people out there, but still, they would have went to hell if they had not have believed upon him. You understand what I'm saying? They would have went to hell if they had not believed upon the Lord Jesus Christ, because that's the only way you can get to heaven. You can't get to heaven because God said, okay, forgive them for crucifying me. Now they're forgiven. They're not, anybody is ever forgiven until they repent and turn to Christ and believe upon the Lord Jesus Christ. No, it is not going to get them to heaven. Because if that was true, all of Africa could be saved today, because they're ignorant in what they're doing over there. They don't know about the Lord Jesus Christ. That is not an excuse. They are going to go to hell if they die in their sins, and that's why we need to get the message to them. Joe, was you going to say something? That's correct.
Sin is the sin.
Oh, that's right.
Okay.
I agree 100%.
If I'm holding the ground saying, now, did they affect it?
And you really can't really determine that.
It's got to be for my...
Absolutely. But there needs to be repentance. There needs to be this saying, I sinned, I was wrong, I done you wrong. And then the forgiveness comes. And we'll look at that in just a moment. Anybody else have anything you want to say? Yes. Oh, absolutely. And that's what I'm saying. You know, that's how he forgave me. But he didn't forgive me till I accepted that. Sure. Are we with it? Now, listen to me. A lot of people think, you know, well, just because, you know, I know I've sinned, I've done this, I've done that, and I've not done everything I should have, and I'm sure God will forgive me. He will not forgive you until you trust in Christ. Put your faith, your trust in Jesus Christ. I don't care how good you try to be. It doesn't matter. Without turning to Christ, asking forgiveness of sin and trusting him, believing upon him, receiving him, you cannot go to heaven, and I can't either.
Amen.
Isn't that right? It's the only thing that will get us to heaven. Okay? Now, let's see here. In over in Hebrews, well, I don't think I'll turn there for sake of time, but in Hebrews, he said, I will remember their sins no more. Speaking of the Lord, I think it's the 10th chapter, I will remember their sins no more. Now, you know, a lot of times people say, well, God forgets. God is God. He knows everything. But what he is saying there is, I will never bring their sin up to them anymore and use it against them. God is God. He is all powerful. He knows all things. But what he's saying is, he says that to me and he says that to you if you're a Christian, I will never bring your sins up and use them against you ever again. No, he doesn't, but at the same time, isn't that the way that we should forgive? In other words, Brother J.R., don't you ever, down the road a year from now, say, you remember that time you stole that $100? Well, in all seriousness, don't use it against me. It's been reconciled, it's been forgiven, and don't bring it up. Right? See, that's where forgiveness. You say, well, I won't ever forget it. No, you won't forget it. You won't forget it. That's part of it. That's part of what's going on. But you shouldn't ever use it against me. And God doesn't use it against us, does he? Forgets it. Amen. I agree. I think that's good, Brother Jack, because I think that's exactly right. And aren't we all been there where the old devil says, yeah, remember what you done here? Remember what you done? That's not God doing that when it's under the blood. Amen? No, that's not him. That's good. Well, let's go over to Luke for just a moment here. Luke, the 17th chapter. Let's read starting at verse 1. Then said he unto these disciples, it is impossible but that offenses will come. But woe unto him through whom they come. Well, it would better for him that a millstone was hanged about his neck and he cast into the sea than that he should offend one of these little ones. Now listen. Now take heed, he said to yourselves. If thy brother trespass against thee, rebuke him. And if he repent, forgive him. Do you hear what he said? If he repent, forgive him. He said, rebuke him. Look what he says next. And if he trespass against thee 7 times in a day, and 7 times in a day turn again to thee, saying, I repent, thou shalt forgive him. You notice the repentance comes before forgiveness. And again, remember this. It's not good for you or me to hold a grudge and to hold bitterness in our heart toward anybody. But you are helping this person in the process that God uses, the humbling process of repentance. And that is necessary. If you let that person go without the repentance, you have harmed that individual. You're hurting the process that God is using in bringing that person to a place of humbleness. Because God uses that. Now, I've been there. I know. I don't know about your lives, but I've been there, and I've had to walk up to people and look them in the eye and say, I am sorry I did this, and I ask you to forgive me. That is humbling. But it's necessary. It'll get that pride out of your life, won't it? Amen? So you hear what he said? He said, if thy brother trespass against thee, and if he repent, forgive him. Okay? That's what he said. And if he does it 7 times today, JR, if I stole $700 off of you 7 times, and I ask you to forgive me, you're to forgive me. That's what God says. It's what the Lord said. Amen? What do you think about that? Huh? That's the way it ought to be. You're right. You remember over in 1 Corinthians, I think maybe we'll do this again next week, but 1 Corinthians, 5th chapter. I am not going to read the whole story. You're familiar with the story. This was handled this, and I'm just going to read chapter 5, verse number 9. I wrote unto you in this epistle not to company with fornicators, yet not altogether with the fornicators of this world, or with the covetous, or extortioners, or with idolaters, for then must ye needs go out of the world. In other words, you're going to be around this kind of people, extortioners and covetous and adulterers. You're going to be around those kind of people. You work with them. You deal with them. You'd have to go out of the world to not be around them. But he says, But now I have written unto you not to keep company. If any man that is called a brother be a fornicator or covetous or an adulterer or a railer or a drunkard or an extortioner with such as one, know not to eat. For what have I to do to judge them also that are without? Do not we judge them that are within? But them that are without, God judges. Therefore, put away from among yourselves that wicked person. You have a person here who has committed sin. He's in the church. He's a part of the church. God says, don't have fellowship with him. This is part of the process of getting this person turned back to God. And he says, don't even eat with him. Now, we don't do that in America. Now, I'm just telling you, most of the time that's none. There's a person who's accused of a certain thing. It's knowing that this person did this. And there's many of the Christians that'll go and just pat him on the back and her on the back and treat them like they never done it. That's wrong. You are stopping the process of repentance. You're not to have fellowship with them. You hear what I'm saying? You say, oh, I just want them to fit. No. You're stopping the process. And they need that process so that they can come to true repentance. It's not against them. It's because in the second book, this man did come to repentance. And I think a lot of the reason was because no one would have anything to do with him. I don't think they went around snubbing their nose at him. I think they just didn't fellowship with him. They didn't invite him to eat. They didn't, and that was a big thing in those days. They wouldn't let him eat. I mean, with them. They wouldn't fellowship with him. Why? Well, that's what brought that man to fellowship, to repentance. And he repented. Why? Because all this pressure was on him. He saw what he had done wrong, and his brethren was treating him this way. And so pretty soon he says, you know what? This ain't right. And in 2 Corinthians, he got right with God. Okay? See, but the presence of pressure from those that he's done wrong to is necessary to bring them to repentance. It's necessary. And when we don't let that process go on, we are hurting that individual. We're not helping that individual. We're hurting them. Okay? Anybody got anything to say? I'm sorry, Carol. Okay, it's one of your family members. Is it in the immediate family you're talking about? Okay, okay. I think you have to look at the relationship that God is putting in the family too. What I'm saying is, you got to remember. Let's say it was a child and a mother or a dad. You still got to be a dad. You still got to be a mother to that child. But you must do everything that you can to bring them to the place of repentance. And I don't think there can be the sweet, precious relationship there that ought to be until that repentance comes. I'll give you one illustration. Little children, sometimes they're gone and they're told to go to their room because they've done something wrong. I don't see anything wrong with that, because that's basically what God does to us when we do something wrong. He says, go to your room. In other words, you're not going to see me for a while. I'll be here, but there's going to be a broken fellowship. So you send this child to the room, and pretty soon that child comes out and slithers up to mother or dad and puts their arm around them and kisses them on the cheek and tells them how much they love them. Have you ever been there? But they've never repented. All they're doing is winning you, and you say, oh, I know, honey, I love you too. It's a wrong move, because they've never repented. That child has got that sin nature in them, so there needs to be some repentance. How can there be a reconciliation without repentance? And I know it sounds like I'm getting off, but Carol, I think there's a broken fellowship there when their repentance they've not been brought to repentance. There'll be a broken fellowship. Doesn't mean that you can't, you probably will have to eat with them, you probably have to be with them, but I'm just saying, and you do that with a child, but there has to be some repentance for that person's sake.
Sure.
That's correct. Very good. Very good. No, it isn't. And I think there is a difference between the church, and as I started and when I said that, this is a church matter. Here is. And I believe that's true. But on an individual basis, it's a tough thing. But still, there needs to be reconciliation. I don't believe between two individuals when there has been sin or hurt or an ought, I don't believe there can ever be the right kind of relationship that ought to be there. They will be a relationship, but I don't think it'll ever be what it ought to be until that is reconciled. Well, I think that's what God, what we need to realize is, and that's what I'm trying to teach here, is if you don't, what does God say? God says, I won't forgive you. If I have earned JR's forgiveness, then he must forgive me, or God's not going to forgive him. The relationship between him and God is going to be off, period.
But how do you forgive?
Oh, no, Sister Clyde. That's not a good move. Well, we've got some more to talk about. And yeah, that's true. And next week, I'm not going to be here. I'm going to St. Louis to preach in Brother Beller's church and also preach his graduation. So you're going to have to wait 2 weeks. And you come up with a lot of good things, amen. Read up on this and help me and help me know what it says, all right? Yes, you do.
If
Absolutely. The response, what Chief is talking about, is our human nature. But God don't want us to let that human nature get out of control. That I think if it has something to do with it. Amen. I think probably it would. Do pray for Wayne Allheiser, Tim Burchin. I know Lori's here, but I don't know whether Tim is here. He may be working. He works some Sundays. And Harold and Mary Berger, let's pray for them. And Robert Petz, us do pray for Robert. And certainly Mrs. Barbara here, pray for her. She needs your prayers. Yes, she does. And Teresa Sullivan, is she not here today? Teresa, not here. And Cora Wagner, let's pray for her. And okay, let's dismiss. Father, thank you again today for your kindness and your grace and your goodness. And help us, Lord, to understand as we study your word. In Jesus' name, amen.